just want to say thank you, Bill, for sharing with us every week. So we appreciate your messages. And last week was maybe difficult. For me, it was good. It was good to see you struggle. It was a good message. So it's not always bad when it goes hard. So be confident that God can use any word spoken, because that really spoke to me. Seek first God's kingdom. So that was a good message. So pray for Bill. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for Bill, for his faithfulness. Thank you for your word that you speak through him. And we pray that the word spoken today would hit our hearts like never before. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Am I on? Yes, here we go. On Monday, I was in... No, this is mine. You can't have that one today. I have the same problem as last week. On Monday, I went to the voting booth, and Susan was there, and I said, Susan, I got a new iPad. For those of you who weren't here, my iPad froze last week. A black stripe appeared and wouldn't scroll anymore. And I have to say, and I'm not making no excuses in whatsoever, but I just want to tell all of us, we are in Halloween week. Don't underestimate that. Ramp up your prayer. Ramp up what's going on in the spirit. There is an oppression, and in my opinion, has been going on for weeks. And it shows up in tangible ways. So I was there, and I said, Susan, I got a new iPad. She says, you know, it was actually really good to see you real. She says, not that I needed convincing, but it was good to see you're as human as the rest of us. So, just one quick announcement. I sent out a Survey Monkey this past week to get feedback on the family camp. I got good response, but I'm looking for more. I know I sent out more than I received back. So if it's in your inbox, you didn't get it, you will get it. If you were there overnight, okay, if you stayed overnight. And so if I missed you, would you please tell me? It wasn't intentional. And so if you stayed at least one night, we want to get the feedback on it to see where we're going for next year. This morning I'm using PowerPoint because I won't call it technical, but there's a principle, there's something I want to get across. And so because I'm throwing some scriptures at you, if you get a second way of seeing it or understanding it, I'm believing it's going to help us. So last week we spoke about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We'll recap that a little bit in a minute, but just, you got to also, when I read my Bible, I read what it says, and I also think about what it doesn't say. You know what it doesn't say? Seek first Jesus. Seek first the Son of God. Seek first the kingdom. I know that throws, Christianity kind of upside down instantly. We're always wanting to introduce people to Jesus, and Jesus says, no. Seek first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus spoke first and foremost and primarily about the kingdom, not about himself. Now, that's enough to go a whole message here this morning, but we're not going to go there. But we will read Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to Matthew 17, verse 9. And our title this morning, is it on the screen? Seeing the Kingdom of God. Matthew 16, beginning at 24 to 17, verse 9. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. So last week, I introduced a series on the kingdom of God. And the first one was last week, seek first the kingdom of God. And as I lost my notes, I recovered and stumbled and recovered a little bit. But really, what I sought to bring you was the purpose of Jesus was the kingdom of earth in the hearts of men. You see, to experience or to live the kingdom, it's got to take root in you. It's got to get hold of you. The kingdom of God is not physical, per se. It takes hold of you where you begin to see and screen things and understand things through a kingdom mindset. The message of Jesus was a message of a kingdom from heaven on earth. Even this morning, I love the songs, but you can get a wrong takeaway. And by the way, Jared, thank you. Where is she? Okay. Thank you. You have a very, as you know, this gifted, mature voice. Your pitch, you're a bit like, it's amazing. Don't hold back. Give it more when you get up there. Way to go. But you can get a sense of, you know, when we arrive on those shores, as if everything about this world is to get over there. That's not the kingdom. God's kingdom, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And not to one day finally take this one and pitch it up there for good. The message of Jesus was a message of a kingdom from heaven to appear on earth. It's not a religion, but a kingdom. It's not a kingdom that flows out of religion, but it's a Christianity that flows out of the kingdom. This will make more sense, hopefully, as we go. If I need to switch to a portable, I can do that. What's that? You think it's my cord? Okay. Let me switch to this. Can I use this one?
Powered up. There we go. Okay, we'll switch to this one. Luke 4:43, I used that verse last week. Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And what has the church done since about Constantine? The church has preached religion. It has preached a Christianity that is powerless because it has stepped away from kingdom. A religion looks like something, but a kingdom looks a lot different. Now, the obvious one in Jesus' day, there was the Pharisees, religious, and there was Jesus' kingdom. So next slide, please. Okay, religion is what man does until he finds the kingdom. Nicodemus was religious until he heard Jesus, and he comes to him in the middle of the night, and there's a personal conversation going on where Jesus instructs this man of what it means to begin to enjoy and see and know kingdom life. Religion prepares man to leave earth. The kingdom empowers man to dominate earth. You see, you're not saved so you can go to heaven. You're saved to see the kingdom manifested to a greater degree. It is not a biblical precept to just preach fire insurance. You're not saved to go to heaven. You're saved to begin to live out, and I know there's a now and not yet, okay? We're talking the now. In your lifetime, to see the kingdom of God expand, infiltrate, overtake wherever you plant your feet and where you have dominion in Jesus' name. Religion focuses on heaven. The kingdom focuses on earth. So again, it's the future versus the now. You're not to live in the future, you're to live in the now. And what is the now? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Religion is reaching up to God. The kingdom is God coming down to man. Where is Jesus? Seated at his Father's right hand, and he's one in you. We don't need to go look for him. We don't need to bring him down from heaven. We are to let him flow out of us, Jesus in us. Religion wants to escape earth. The kingdom impacts, influences, and changes earth. You see, you can flee from evil or you can confront it. You can hide for Halloween or you can confront it. You can take charge on your street corner and take a stand in Jesus' name. No demonic powers will establish their stuff through their all-night parties to bring curses to my neighborhood. Religion doesn't do that. Kingdom does. Religion wants to escape earth. The kingdom impacts. I said that. Religion seeks to take earth to heaven. The kingdom seeks to bring heaven to earth. Earth is a colony of heaven. And I'll finish with that as an illustration at the end. So what would people generally see or say about you? Do they see mostly religion or kingdom or neither one? If you're here this morning and not a believer, it's probably the neither one. If you're here as a follower of Christ, someone who was born again, you're going to reflect more of one or the other. Do people see you more as religious or as living kingdom? You see, if it was number one's message of Jesus, and if he said, seek first the kingdom, it must be very, very important, because according to your belief system, that's what you're going to live out. Now, I'm a guy, and I like manly stuff. And I got to tell you, kingdom seems a whole lot more appealing to me than just religion. Because God has given us that. Now, I would hope for you ladies that kingdom is more appealing to you than religion too. This morning, we're going to look at seeing the kingdom of God. Now, if this shakes you up a bit, I'm okay with that. A good shaking is a good shaking. If shaking is good, it's good. And if it's a reminder, it's a good reminder. And if it's brand new, you got to have a Berean spirit and take it to the Word of God. So this morning, we're going to look at the seeing the kingdom of God. And the one passage I read was Matthew 16. But the next slide is three parallel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke of Jesus saying these things, although each verse says it a little different. So Matthew 16:28 says this, "Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Mark 9:1 says, "And he said to them, assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." You notice a little difference. Luke 9:27 says, "But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." So one, they will see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Mark says they will see the kingdom of God with power, and Luke says they will see the kingdom of God. There will be some standing here, Jesus says. So all three are preceded by Jesus' serious admonition about being a true follower of him. If you want to see the kingdom of God, it's not for wimps or wusses. It might cost you everything. The more you want to see and walk in the power of the kingdom, it'll cost you everything. But then Jesus says, if you really want to save your life, you got to lose it. And if you're trying to save it anyway, you're going to you've lost. And so he says there, take up your cross and follow me. In every one of the gospels, those three gospels, that's what precedes it. And also in all three gospels, what follows it is the account of Jesus transfigured in the presence of Peter, James, and John. Now the verse up there, like all religions do, we make things complicated. Religion does that. And so also in this case, there are four interpretations of what Jesus is referring to in those verses. And the next slide will tell you that one interpretation is it's the final day of judgment. Another one is it's the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, which was the ending of the old covenant. The third one is Jesus' resurrection and the receiving of his kingdom. And the fourth one says, no, it means that directly follows it, which is the transfiguration. Now, our understanding of other verses will cause you to land on one of those four. We may not all have agreement. It's always like that, isn't it? What I understand about this verse is going to determine what I understand about another verse. I am not going to pick all four apart this morning. But I will just make one comment on the first one. That the first view, I believe, is the easiest to refute unless Jesus meant something else than literal. Right? Because Jesus didn't come back in that generation. So unless he meant something figurative or symbolic, the first one is easy to refute. So I hope to bring clarity to this verse and encourage you again to be as the Bereans. I'll tell you right now where I'm going. I believe it's number 3 and 4. Okay, follow me. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all stated in a little different. Matthew highlights they will see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now Jesus often quoted the Old Testament. That was his Bible. He had an understanding like no one other, even at 12 years of age. They were amazed at his understanding as he asked questions and as he answered. Imagine him reading his Bible that he has written as a Son of God. And now as in his mankind, he has an understanding and he speaks out of that. And so when he says about they'll see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, the word coming, by the way, can either be to come or to go. It allows that definition. For instance, if I say I'm coming to you, then somebody is seeing me go. It can mean either one. And the Son of Man is the language of Daniel chapter 7. Next slide, please. And Daniel 7 says this in verse 13 and 14. You got to read it carefully. Don't let your presupposition cause you to overlook what's in this verse. It says, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man. Okay, here's the language. Coming with the clouds of heaven. And it says, he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This is Daniel's vision, a prophecy of what was to come. I believe it's clear in the text that the prophecy took place in heaven before the throne of God. It's a heavenly scene. The Son of Man appeared before the Ancient of Days. This was his ascension 40 days after his resurrection. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. And then it says he was given authority and glory and sovereign power. So there he received his kingdom when he ascended to his Father 40 days after his resurrection. So I believe that fits with the third one that I gave, that the word Jesus says there will be some standing here who will not see death until they see the Son of Man coming and receiving his kingdom, or coming for the Father. Now, Mark and Luke, I told you I needed slides to kind of help you to follow this. Mark and Luke, they state some of them are going to see the kingdom of God. Okay, so all three Gospels give the account of the transfiguration right after this statement. And it happened just a number of days after this prophecy. Two of them say 6 days after, and I think Luke says about 8 days after. And the way they explain this is, well, a part day is counted as a day. So, you know, and those who contradict, or those who come against the word of God, they like to pick on those things. You know, there's a discrepancy here. It's inconsistent. You can't rely on it. But whatever it was, a number of days after Jesus states these words, there is the transfiguration. And then afterwards, Jesus commanded them, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. So that's an interesting statement. Tell the vision to no man. So was it a literal? Was it a prophetic? What was going on? And they were to keep it inside of them until Jesus rose from the dead. Now this is on your screen because I want you to be able to see it as I speak it. I think it'll become easier to at least comprehend. This vision seems to be an extraordinary preview of the Lord's coming in power and great glory. Okay? The vision seems to be an extraordinary preview of what was to come. Now, I love this concept. And I've often wondered with Noah, you know, Noah gets this word. Noah built an ark. Here's the dimensions. In 120 years, I'm going to send a flood. I wonder if Noah got any encouragements along the way. 57 years into it, God, like, really? I haven't heard from you for 57 years. Did I really hear right? But God gives these encouragements. Jesus says, this is, you know, there'll be some standing here who will not see death until. And on the heels of that, there is a testimony. There are men who can testify. Peter, James, and John, this is what they saw. And when Jesus rose from the dead, and when the power of the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, it's like, aha. We've got an encouragement, and now it makes sense. Can I prove this? Can this verse refer to both Jesus receiving his kingdom and the transfiguration? What if I can show you from Scripture that it's yes? If so, then the vision of Jesus' transfiguration prophesies of what was to come. Because Mark adds this, they're going to see the power of the kingdom of God present. So you can make notes. If you're taking notes, it'll be on the screen. 2 Peter 1:16 to 18. It supports the view that the transfiguration is connected to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Read with me. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power. And by the way, that word coming there, it's being near. It's not the option of going away or coming. It's only of being near. We told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on this sacred mountain. So what I believe what Peter is saying is that when we heard the words of Jesus and saw the transfiguration, it was a prophetic word on the heels of what Jesus had told us that found fulfillment on the day of Pentecost. Jesus received his kingdom, Daniel chapter 7. They saw the kingdom, and the way it manifested, it came with power. And on the day of Pentecost, flames of fire. And by the way, brothers and sisters, the kingdom has never left. The power has never left. Whether or not religion has squashed it, squelched it, locked it up or not, God has never withdrawn the power that was released on the day of Pentecost. I'm leaning towards next week. I've been pondering. I asked Margaret this morning how many ladies would be here. I'm pondering. I think I'm going to do this next week where I'm going to contrast kingdom and religion. I might divide us up into two and have the kids participate. You see, think about this. I'm going to put it in the way of a question. Does the kingdom of God flow out of the church? Or does the church flow out of the kingdom of God? Listen carefully. Does the kingdom of God flow out of the church? If it flows out of the church and the church has been religious since Constantine, what is the church's perception or practice or reflection of the kingdom of God? Religion. But if the church is to flow out of the kingdom of God, and we see it as something non-religious but powerful, as a colony on earth to reflect what's in heaven, religion has no place. I believe, and I include me, we are more religious than we would want to own. Why do people not want to come to a place like this that are out there? They don't like religion. But you tell a man, you tell a boy, or you tell someone struggling of life in the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Not that these things don't matter. They matter to us. We worry and we fret. What are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? Where's work coming from? Those things matter. And so Jesus says, when you seek first the kingdom of God, these things will come along. It doesn't say seek first religion. Religion kills. So here's a summary of those three verses. Matthew says, you'll see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, Jesus' ascension. Luke, you'll see the kingdom of God. It will look like something. Mark, the kingdom will display visible power, and the most natural interpretation of that phrase centers on the events of Pentecost. So life application. We've got to go beyond the technical, but it's important. And I believe this sound needs to be trumpeted here like anywhere else. Because we do not have a good handle, a good understanding of the kingdom of God as Jesus did. We don't. Because if we did, and Neil, I agree with you, the hope of Canada is the church. But we've got to step out of religion. You see, the kingdom has to, or the church has to flow out of kingdom. And for way too many centuries, the kingdom has flowed out of the church as the understanding they had. So question. Jesus said there'd be some standing here who will not die until they would see the kingdom. Do you see the kingdom? Let me start with when you read your Bible. I said when, not if. When you read your Bible, do you see kingdom? Or do you see religion? When you read your Bible, do you understand you're reading it as a king and as a priest? Or do you read it as a servant and a slave? How you got to approve and appease God. How you need to satisfy him when things aren't going right. He must be mad at me. He must be against me. You see, that's religion. If you read it as a son, as you read it as a king, or you read it as a priest, it's like something isn't right in Zion. What is it, Lord? Because God's not doing it to you. But religion against the kingdom of darkness will not win. Will never win. But the kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness always wins. Just as an aside, Katie, you already know this. When a Christian school in this community is under incredible spiritual attack, it's not about God's displeasure with the school. It's about religion being insufficient to stand against the wiles of the enemy. It'll take a kingdom perspective, a warfaring heart, as we're connected with Jesus, to stop what's going on in that school. Just yesterday, a gasket blew on a chemical dispenser. It took him 8 hours to clean up the water flood. It's just the latest thing in it and a whole bunch of things. We're in Halloween week. Don't let October 31 shake you to the core. But don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. If you hear, I'll go on the record of saying this, if you hear with your kids or grandkids promote Halloween, would you stop it and repent? Don't tell me it's innocent. We're just getting dressed up. We're just going trick-or-treating. And I know there's pastors who would oppose me instantly. It's from the pit. You may not be dancing to the full tune of Satan, but you're in his camp. I don't discount that what's gone on in Lethbridge this past week is connected to the occult and their all-night whatever they do. Don't make it your focus. Religion won't take it down. The kingdom will. Do you see the kingdom? Do you see the kingdom in me? Do I see the kingdom in you? What do you see? Do you see the kingdom? Do you see the world from a kingdom perspective or from a religious church perspective? Until Pentecost, Jesus was the only one who carried in him the kingdom of God. Right? He empowered his disciples. He says, go do in my name. But he was the only one who carried in him the kingdom of God. Not so since Pentecost. You now, as a follower of Jesus Christ, carry the kingdom of God. But John 3 tells us, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can hear about it, you can learn about it, you can even teach about it, but unless a man is born again, he will not get the revelation of the kingdom of God. So that's the first thing. If you are here this morning and you don't like religion, hallelujah. But if you still have a sin problem, when there is sin that you cannot overcome, there's something wrong with that. There is something wrong with that. Or if you're here this morning and you don't hate sin, there's something wrong with that. Now, the unbeliever doesn't hate his sin. But if you're here as a believer and you say, well, I don't hate my sin, maybe you're not saved. I'm being hard on us. But the fear of God must come back to the body of Christ, including me. The love of God will not cause you to flee from sin, but the fear of God will. Do you see, recognize the kingdom, or do you see religion? When someone tells me that I am preaching too much now and not enough not yet, I'll own it. I don't know about the not yet. My Bible has things to say about it. It'll be glorious. But we're to live in the now. And I believe what religion has done through Satan's messing around has caused us to make it about the religion and not about the kingdom. And as long as we're about religion, we're not doing any damage to his camp. Seek first the kingdom. Not seek first the church. Seek first religion. Seek first, as I said earlier, it doesn't even say seek first Jesus. The kingdom comes with Jesus. You can't be in the kingdom without getting here through Jesus. But Jesus came to establish the kingdom. So unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We must be born again to see it, and so you must have the Spirit of God to see it. Now, stated earlier, one of the ones that was up on the screen was the religion wants to escape earth. The kingdom impacts, influences, and changes earth. Let me drive this home by giving you an illustration that is not unfamiliar. Earth is a colony of heaven. Okay. We Canadians used to be a colony of England until 1931. And it got totally eradicated or removed in 1982 with the Canada Act. But before 1931, Canada was a full-blown colony of England. England had lots of colonies. England was headquarters. We'll call England the Kingdom of Heaven, Kingdom in Heaven. But every nation was a colony. Now what they didn't do was move England into Canada. England remained England. But the culture, the belief system, the practices of England were brought to Canada. They sent men here so Canada would be like England. Now what the English did, they perfected something Rome began. Think about the Jews when they were taken into captivity. What did they do? They emptied Jerusalem, they emptied the nation, some went to Assyria and some went to Babylon. That's a lot of work, a lot of cost. Now they got to put them up in their countries. They emptied the nation. The Romans didn't do that. They took over and they sent their ambassadors to the nation. And so Israel became a colony of Rome. Worked beautifully. They brought the government of Rome to bear on Israel and on other countries they took over. England perfected that. They expanded that. England took their government, their law, by the way, our law system is still based on the English system. And they brought it to Canada, never to make Canada like England, but to reflect, to make it a duplicity of England to start with. Never to be withdrawn. It wasn't to make Canadians long to go to England, but for Canadians to become like the English right where they were born and raised and lived. Now take that principle, kingdom of God. Religion says, oh God, rescue me, take me to heaven. Whatever heaven is. As I read the rest near the back of my Bible, it talks about a new heaven and a new earth, not up there, but somehow here. When God created the earth in Genesis, he created a colony for earth to be as heaven under the dominion of mankind. We lost it. We gave it to Satan. When Satan tempted Jesus and said, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you bow down to me, that wasn't a boast, that was a fact. But Jesus purchased it back. I am not saying wish to live 500 years in this world that is still under oppression of a lot of sin. What I am saying is make your life count as a colony of the kingdom of God wherever you are. You see, again, what religion does, we want the culture to come into the church. What the kingdom does, it takes the kingdom culture and permeates all of creation. Now we know this will not be a perfect world before Jesus returns and comes to destroy the current world. And I think even the question of how much of Jesus' kingdom will be established before he returns, in a way, is like the wrong question. It's like saying, how many will be converted? That's the wrong question. It's taking the mandate, go make disciples of all nations. As the Father sent me, so I send you. So I come back to this question. Do you see the kingdom? Do you see the world as the kingdom property? Or as Lord Jesus, come rescue your church so this world can be recreated? And by the way, I'm not loading more on you than God wants you to carry. But if you're called to be prime minister, pursue being a prime minister. And if God calls you to be a faithful mom, then raise your kids with the kingdom of God. And if God calls you to be a meat cutter, then be a meat cutter. If God calls you to be a carpenter, be the carpenter. If God calls you as a retired person to be an intercessor, then be an intercessor. If God calls you to be a greeter at Walmart, then be a greeter at Walmart. But bring the kingdom of God with you. Do you see the kingdom of God? Jesus says there are some standing here who will not die until the Son of Man appears before the Father, before God. And some who will not die until they see the kingdom of God come with power. And that wasn't a one-generation statement, or that verse is useless to us. That verse applies to October 26, 27, 2019. Do you see the kingdom? How you see God's world, how you understand the kingdom, will directly affect how you live out your life. As one of my spiritual fathers says, when he began, I've said this here before, when he became saved, he said, God, you got to be kidding me. Why did you save me? Because it's the only team I know who is waiting to get off the field so they can go home. He was a professional athlete. He would do anything to get on the field and make it worthwhile. The 70 were sent out. They healed the sick. And Jesus said, say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And so the teaching of divine healing is part of the kingdom message. It's not all of it, but it's part of it. Another thing, Jesus said, he is what? He is Lord of lords and he is King of kings. It doesn't say he's King of servants. He's King of kings. You, as a king, are a representative in this colony of the kingdom of God. And so that's why, without apology, without wavering, without doubt, you can call on someone who is sick and say, what would you like God to do? And they say, I want to be healed. And religion says, well, we'll ask God to see if he wants to heal you. The kingdom says, all authority and power has been given unto Jesus. And he's given the mandate to the 70. And they went out. And they healed. And they were told, behold, the kingdom of heaven is near you. We should expect the sick to be healed. And I know we have our challenges. Those we haven't seen it yet. Religion doubts and wavers. The kingdom heart says, God, your kingdom is greater than the kingdom of darkness that's oppressing this person. Therefore, this person will rise in your name. And that's why, if you come with religion against a spirit of fear, a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of whatever, a spirit of pride, religion says, oh God, I don't know what to do. Rescue me from this oppression. And the kingdom heart says, in the name of Jesus, I come against fear. Go now. In Jesus' name. So one more time, the question, do you see the kingdom or do you see a religion? And does religion flow out of the kingdom or does the kingdom flow out of religion? If the kingdom is to flow out of religion, I'll quit. But that's not the way it is. The church is to take their marching orders from the kingdom. And by the way, I didn't go here today, but the word ecclesia, the Greek word for church, is called out to govern. Kingdom. There's no room for pride here, but there's room for confidence here. There's no room for discouragement here, but there's room for hope here. There's no room for hopelessness here, but there's to believe that the kingdom of God that Jesus came to establish and that he received when he ascended to his Father and that it would be displayed in power. And although Constantine made it a religious thing that the Catholic Church got a hold of and the church has not been fully delivered from, this is not the end. And also without apology, if it matters, I do not believe Jesus is coming back imminently. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. What he purchased with his blood is more than what we see today. It doesn't mean there won't be dark times, but what I do believe is when the church thinks and speaks and lives kingdom, Satan will really show that he's done. Or what will show up that he's done. Now, we know he's done. But in some ways, he still has too many victories because we don't always or often think and live kingdom. So you're king. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? You're called to reign with Christ in the heavenly places. Oh, don't step away from him. You'll fall flat on your face. But in his name, you have power as he indwells you. So when you minister to people and say the kingdom of heaven is near you, and I'm standing on the word of the king, and I'm one with him. So therefore this morning, there is no reason for anybody here who has an infirmity to be willing to take it with him. Or someone who is oppressed in any way, because the 70 were sent out, the 12 were sent out, and they came back and said, Jesus, even the demons are subject to us in your name. The name above all names, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. His kingdom has come. Let it show up even more in Jesus' name. So I want to pray. And if anyone desires or needs is open to personal ministry, please don't leave here without it. And if any of you here say, oh, I am a Christian, I've given my heart to Jesus, but I want to recommit my heart to him, don't leave without that. In God's kingdom, no matter how big the mountain, no matter how big the obstacle, no matter how many times it got the best of you, today you can leave here delivered because the kingdom of God is here. Father, thank you for the liberating message that Satan tries to keep undercover lest the people of God embrace it, begin to believe it, and live it. Now, Lord, we know. Lord, I think about how most of us have been raised in a religious environment, and we're trying to get a hold of the kingdom message from that vantage point. So, Father, today, deliver us from that. Deliver us from the religious rock, the religious starting point where we started from. Set us free, O God. Help us to see how you see it. Give us grace to live how you demonstrated it. In dependence upon you. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Lord, give us eyes to see the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.